Welcome to the Startup Addict Podcast. I'm Nick Swinburne. I've been starting companies for over 20 years now. I've had some big successes, like Zappos.com, and lots of failures. Regardless of the outcome, I'm still convinced there's nothing more addicting than trying to turn ideas into
reality. What's this one about?
Vision.
Vision?
Focusing on your vision.
Focusing on vision.
On your vision.
Focus on vision.
No, on your vision, Dennis.
Whose vision? What? I'm not focused. All right, episode 26. We made it. 26.
Wow.
And now we get to talk about eyesight or visions for some people.
We're like.
No, Dennis. Not literally vision, like what you see, yeah. But like
I have 20/20 though.
Your vision of your business.
Ooh,
your
startup. The vision.
Julio, startup. So during the intro, Dennis usually rapid fires off what he thinks the episode's going to be about just to confirm before he says it. Usually it doesn't matter what he says before. He's going to say whatever he wants when it starts.
Yeah.
He's either going to miss words within a sentence or he's going to add words.
I usually like.
So this time you're like, focus on vision. I just happened to look at Julio and he leaned forward in his chair. Put his like elbow on his knee and just glared at you. It was awesome.
I'm off camera.
All right, we're all a little ragged still today.
A little bit.
Sleep was not great last night, apparently.
Nope, we all slept terrible together.
Didn't realize you guys were such kickers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now that we've created a wonderful vision,
yes.
We can talk about vision.
Let's do it.
So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about, based on some meetings I had this week, like focusing on your vision rather than what others are doing. And also within that, just the value of like having a vision, mm-hmm. and being able to focus, right? So last week we talked about the TIFO we made. And I thought about it after that episode too, because like we sat there for 6 hours working on something that had no business benefit, which you could say whatever, that's good or bad use.
Debatable.
But like, we had a clear vision. I think like Julio and I, but we both shared the vision of what it was supposed to be. And then we were just, we had the goal of like, let's knock this out.
Wait, whose idea was it first? Who thought of it?
I think I threw out a bunch of different quotes and Julio was like, I like that one. So then, and then Julio went and found the imagery that would go around it. So like, but it was interesting in that it was fun. Like, so there's been a lot going on. Different companies, different things in the last few weeks. And I was like, I didn't realize until that day, like, man, it was fun having a day of like, you know what? Everything else can just wait. Today we're making a fucking TIFO, you know? Don't know why, but that's what we're doing.
Looks down hours later at his phone.
Yeah.
He's got missed calls.
Yeah, it was actually
a backlog of emails.
I'm like, oh shit, like around 3 o'clock. I'm like, all right. Oh, no, yeah. No, I haven't.
Jim is probably waiting meetings. For responses on it. Like, poor guy's at the fucking warehouse. Or at the
Luke's waiting to get picked up.
But it was, but it was one of those things where I was like, all right, maybe it can't, everything can't wait. But today it seems like it wasn't even like all these things can wait. It was more just like got locked in on this thing you just really wanted to get done. And so it reminded of like how much easier and how much more fun, how naturally spending time on something comes when you have a clear vision of like what it is and what you want, right? And so, you know, it's that same thing where there's a lot of people, myself included, they'll think of an idea and it's like you can't quite figure it out, right? So you spend a lot of time like you just know something's not right because you're like, what should I do? What should I be doing right now? I should be probably be doing something, but I don't know what I should be doing exactly, right? A lot of it's related to just not having that clear vision in your head. So that's one topic to go off on. And then the other thing that reminded me of was I had a meeting, I don't know how many days ago, a couple days ago in LA, and these guys were asking about Basecamp, right? So they were asking about, they were working on like, you know, how can we improve the branding or whatever in the future? And give us a better understanding of like, what is Basecamp? What was the original vision and what's this, that, and the other? So always, of course, as part of that conversation, it always comes up like, well, how does it compare to these competitors, this competitor? And I was like, this used to stress me out, but it doesn't anymore. I was like, honestly, like, I don't know. What do you mean? I've never been to fucking Orange Theory. Like they'd ask about Orange Theory. I've never been to Orange Theory. I don't know. What about Barry? I've been to Barry's once, and I went to F45 ones. But the only reason I went to F45 is because I was in a meeting with potential investors, and they were talking about how does it compare to F45, and I was like, what is F45? Right, now, and everyone else in the meeting on our team was horrified, but like, like, and I felt for a second like, oh shit, like incompetent or something, and then I'm like, I don't know what the fuck it is. Right, it's this, well, it's this huge interval training thing from Australia, which is now all over the fucking U.S. And I'm like, oh, turned out there was one in San Mateo, so I went and tried it.
And oh really?
Like, yeah. And so I was like, so it's a thing where always, so there's certain times where not having done your research or not knowing all your competitors is a negative. But I was kind of like having a hard time reconciling that. Or people ask about, sometimes people, what do you, like we were doing the chicken sandwich thing, right? So we were talking to a guy who owns a restaurant in Burlingame. And we were looking at space to try to do Triple X Chicken. And he's like, so what is Triple X Chicken? And we're like, ah, this is a new chicken sandwich concept we're working on. And he's like, what do you think about, was it called Starboard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Starboard. You think about Starboard. Like, I don't know, what is Starboard? He goes, you don't know what Starboard is? I was like, no, what is Starboard? Fucking chicken chain that just opened in Foster City, and they have like a couple of locations around the Bay Area. How's that going to impact your business? I don't even know the fuck you. I mean, I don't think it's going to impact our business at all. I mean, like, right? So then we went to Starboard.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah,
but like, I think it was kind of like going to F45. You went in and it was like, okay, yeah, I see why people go here. I think it's good. I don't think it's necessarily better than what we're doing, and I don't think even if it was that. The two really matter, right? Like, we just got to focus on what we're doing. So then I was listening, but it always felt to me like a flaw I had. Like, I must be too lazy, right? I'm too lazy to research all the competitors, or man, maybe I'm really not interested enough in like what we're doing because I don't know everything our competitors are doing. I don't even know who the fuck they are. But then I was watching a video with Gary Vee, and Gary Vee, I think he has some good points. I mean, stylistically for me, it's hard because he's just ranting and raving and fucking yelling at everyone, and he's kind of like puts himself up on a pedestal, which you know, turns me off or whatever. But he not the way you're thinking, but
okay.
But it he was talking about do I worry about, no, fuck though, I don't know, you know, do I don't even know, I don't care, I'm just worried about what I'm doing. So that got me thinking, oh shit, okay, like it's not that uncommon. So I started reading other things, and I realized there's a lot of people that have created successful things. The team's just focused on what they're doing. Like, they don't really care what anyone else is doing, right? So when I was talking to the guys about the gym, I was like, you know, because basically it was like, what if an Orange Theory or someone started doing exactly what you're doing? It's like, well, A, why the fuck would they do that? They're fucking, they already have a successful business doing what they're doing. But B, okay, so they switch, they drop everything they're doing, which is they're miles ahead of us, and they just decide to do exactly what we're doing. Then as long as we're doing what we're doing, best case scenario, worst case scenario, they're the same as we are. So I still don't know how that affects us. Probably actually be better for us, right? Like, yeah. You could say someone might get sick of doing base camp and be like, I want to try something else. Let me go try Orange Theory. But if Orange Theory decided base camp is awesome, I just want to be just like base camp, then why would anyone from base camp ever leave?
Yeah, I mean, how do you respond to that? Do you say, oh, well, I'll just fold up and quit, you know? I mean,
I responded this time because I had a little more confidence in my thought process. I didn't see it as like a, I didn't see it as this huge positive. I just didn't see it as a negative anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, honestly, I don't really fucking,
yeah, it doesn't really matter what they do.
Like,
what do you think they wanted your response to be off that? What were they looking for?
Well, they were just thinking maybe there's a secret sauce that we have that they weren't, you know, hadn't talked about yet, that maybe that was going to be this key differentiator. But I was thinking to myself, like in food and fitness and all this thing, none of us are reinventing the wheel. It's just the same shit. You know, and like for chicken sandwiches, like there's plenty of room for people to sell chicken sandwiches, right? There's plenty of room for people to create workouts. Yeah. Like ultimately just come down to like within. So like with online stuff, it's a little more, you know, how do you get eyeballs, right? You get attention, and like you have this ad on this little page and you got to get your message across. But I think anything that's physical space, people come in and walk in. All you got to worry about is once they get in there, well, they like it, right? And so,
well, pretty much, you just got to do the best you can.
Right? You got to focus on, you got to focus on what you're doing now.
Exactly.
If you don't, so I think what happens is if you don't have a clear vision of exactly what you want to do, and I wouldn't spend too much. We don't even need to spend too much time thinking about, like, because the first thing is you think about what you want to do, and someone ultimately says the same thing. well, why is that better than, why would Triple X Chicken be better than Starboard? Like, I don't have anything positive or negative to say about Starboard. I never fucking heard of Starboard. But that's not because they're not doing a good job. It's just there's a million fucking places to eat, and they don't have one in Burlingame, so how the fuck am I going to have heard of Starboard? But it's like, a lot of times people are like, ah, shit, you're right. Like, psych themselves. You know what? There's already someone doing this well. So then it's a question of, like, well, is it like a, you know, there's only room for one person to do this, then maybe that's a big issue. But otherwise, it's more, I think it's interesting. I don't remember the other articles I was reading, but I think it's a common thing of companies. They just don't, they're aware of their competitors, but the people pushing forward on product aren't focused really on the competitors. They're just focused on what they want and can they make it good, right? And I guess the inverse would be, if you're starting a company being like, I want to be like the Party with Dennis version, but I want to be Party with Nick, right? And you're fucking super successful. Everyone wants to Party with Dennis. And my goal was just to be the party of, you know, Dennis is only fucking partying in this area. I'm going to be the fucking
Party with Nick
in fucking Tahiti, right? Yeah. Then I would just look at what you did and be like, oh. And that's like the companies, you know, in Germany, right? There's the clones of like, there's a Zappos clone, and there's like the eBay clone, and there's the whatever, all these, there's a company, I don't remember the name of it, in Europe that just takes the concepts that hit in America and creates a European version of it. Same, copies everything, same process, same look and feel, just slaps another name on it. And they have built a really big business, so I guess that's a good business. If you're not trying to copy someone else's business, then you just don't want to get overloaded with like, what is someone else doing, getting intimidated by what they're doing or over.
Do you think that prevents a lot of people from starting businesses? Like,
I think
They just look at all the competitors as like, ugh, I have no idea what I'm doing.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's another project we're working on, right, where it was, hopefully talk about it soon, but it's an industry where there's a lot of people with a lot of money, spending a whole bunch of money, and people have been doing it for a long time. And so it was like, you know, you want to make sure you're not being naive to be like, oh, we just have a new, you know, updated approach. But like, okay, that's fine. But is it something where you're going to have to, everyone in the industry is spending $1 billion a year. And even if you have a better product, to get through all the noise, you're going to need to do some advertising and your budget's like $5 million. Then you might be like, how are we going to do that, right? But usually, if you just keep it as simple as like, Zappos does this, but I think if they did this, there'd be an opportunity, and so I'm just going to focus on this part, and I'm going to do it better. I'm not going to worry about all the other things they do, right? Because then if you're, you're a Zappos competitor, you're like, you have a better idea, a better way to sell shoes right now. You're like, I think I could sell shoes with fucking 3 pairs of laces. Be awesome because people
would that'd be sick. Yeah,
they could change the laces every day.
Hold on, let me write that down.
You're like, but right, so then you say, I'm gonna start a website that's gonna sell shoes with 3 pairs of laces because no one else is doing that. And here's why I think these laces will be here's why people will like it. And I've read a lot of things or met a lot of people who were like, if only my fucking shoes came with 3 pairs of laces. And so that would be an idea. But then what happens a lot of times is then people would be like, so who would you compare? Well, it's kind of like Zappos, right? But Zappos, except the shoes are going to come with 3 pairs of laces. And then all of a sudden it sounds like, so what if Zappos decided to put 3 pairs of laces in every pair of shoes? You'd be like, you'd be like, oh shit. Yeah, I shouldn't do it. Well, then why the fuck would Zappos start putting 3 pairs of shoes? They already have something successful. So why would they start adding laces to it? But then the second thing that would happen is, you'd probably be like, I'm locked in on this. And then someone would be like, well, Zappos branched out into apparel. Are you going to branch out into apparel too? Or are you going to start selling shirts with fucking 3 arms? And you'd be like, you know, I mean, yeah, I might. And all of a sudden it's like,
no, your vision
now
is out of whack.
Your vision's out of whack because you're just trying to be, well, I'm trying to be kind of like Zappos in that they sell shoes. But really, you're selling fucking shoelaces, right? And then, well, Zappos also sells shoes, but then someone says, well, they sell apparel. You're right. And all of a sudden the whole thing gets fucked up because now, your roadmap is just basically copying this company instead of being the best place for 3 pairs of shoelaces. Yeah. And then within that, I'm going to ramble through all these topics and we can just talk about. It's like, it's not just like one person, right? It's not like one person has a vision, right? We're making a fucking TIFO. It's not like I'm like, here's a TIFO and exactly what I want it to look like. Right? I have an idea for a TIFO. Well, he was like, that's a good idea. What if it was like this? And then it comes together. So it doesn't have to be one vision that everyone follows, right? So say you're like, we're not going to worry about anyone else. We're just going to, we have a really clear vision. We're going to lock in on it. The vision can still be a sum of multiple visions, right? So I could be like, my vision is it will say this. And Julio could be like, well, my vision is it'll say that, but here's what it should look like while it says that, right? So as long as we're, as long as those multiple visions aren't going separate directions, then it's still one vision. And then each of us, like the same way someone has to be the moral compass for like the overall vision, each of us now has to be the moral compass for like our vision within the vision, right? So I, so Julio might start fucking doing what you do on the intros, right? And like taking words out or adding words in. Yeah. And I could be like, hey, no, it doesn't have the same impact if unless it's worded this way, right? And then he could be like,
take it offensively.
Moral compass for the picture, right? Yeah. And so it's kind of like, if you have a good working relationship, you can still work towards the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then, like we talked about a little bit on Friday, you have to make sure that your ambition matches your team's ambition or your customer's ambition, right? So if you're like, I'm going to sell fucking shoes with three laces, and I want to be the biggest fucking shoe place with three laces in the world, then like, if your team's like, yeah, I'll work on that, like, a couple hours a day, but I really want to keep working on our, you know, mice species encyclopedia on the side, like, you're not going to get there, right? Because they're not having the same ambition. Or if you're like, I'm going to be the best fucking three-lace shoe place in the world, and these are the kind of people I need to hire for that, but I don't want to hire those, you know, like, you know, like that, it all has to align. Otherwise, like, how are you going to get there? And then from a customer's perspective, this is what gets back to sports, is like, if your customers, you know, you, like back to the earthquakes, they could say, hey, we built a new stadium. It's not the, you know, we built a new stadium and we field a team. We exist. You guys need a soccer team. We are a fucking soccer team. We've built a relatively nice stadium for you. What's the fucking problem? We'll win some, we'll lose some. We'll raise some prices sometimes. Who fucking cares? Like, you guys want a team? We're here. I own it. Blah, blah, blah. Like, okay, that's great. Right? So a certain percentage of the fans, which is like what Rep told me last night, hey, a lot of our fans, they don't really care if we win or lose. They just like the experience here at Avaya, and they just want to be here. Because I was saying, are you guys worried about your renewal rates? Like, because it seems empty, and like, teams having a historically bad season, like one of the worst seasons in the history of the league. He's like, eh, it's not as bad as you might think, because a lot of the fans, they like just coming to Avaya and hanging out.
Best salesperson.
You know, now there's some fans, you know, and there's some fans that, you know, are upset, obviously, about the team, but they've either, you know, grown up as Quakes fans, and so they're going to stick with it. And there's a few that, you know, only, so they'll rephrase it, right? There's a few that only are, you know, they only want to support a team that's winning. It's like, no, I think it's more like support a team that's doing everything in its power. So then it's like, I look at it like, the reason I would want to give up on the Earthquakes is because their ambition doesn't match my ambition for what the soccer team I root for should be, right? So if you're, you know, you found out for the shoelace thing that all your customers, what they really want is shoelaces they can wear underwater, you know, like, and that would make it the best thing in the world. And you're like, well, I don't really understand what the underwater thing, but I'm going to give you three fucking pairs you can wear while you're sleeping. Like, that wouldn't, like, line up, right?
Yeah, you're just shooting these awesome these examples, ideas. Yeah. Are so awesome.
You're writing. I'm writing faster.
I can't write faster. Slow down.
So that's the, you know,
can play this back.
So you got to have, I think to be successful, it clicks. Because I can, everyone, I think, can tell the difference between when you're working on something you're passionate about and you can see exactly what you're working towards, and the days when you're just working on something that either is mundane, which there's going to be mundane things that are still part of that, or you're working on something where you just can't, it doesn't, you know, it's like when you can't explain something clearly. It's like that same feeling when you're working on something, but you don't, it doesn't click. You know, it's easier than to like be like, fuck it, I'm going to watch TV, or I'm going to check my email, or I'm going to go on Instagram, versus when yesterday, now this is a bad example, right? Because at work, I lost myself for a day just fucking around building a TIFO. But it reminded me of that. Like, I didn't fucking care what was happening on Twitter, what was happening on Instagram, who the fuck was emailing me or calling me. We got to fucking make this thing for no reason other than we want to. Right? So I think that's when you can gauge if you're trying to start a company or if you're working in a job, is like, you know, Do you have that feeling, or is it just like
when you lose
the sun is an extra day of work
time
for me?
When you lose track of time and doing something, that means it's something that you should probably pursue.
Yeah, like that's the best, right?
Yeah,
the best is when you when it doesn't even
speak for yourself. I got to come in on Saturday now and work on stuff I was supposed to be working on Wednesday.
Besides that, is there anything else that you lose time doing when you start doing it?
I watched fucking the whole season one of Sinner last Sunday with my wife.
Oh, really?
It sucked. We turned it on at like 5:30, and then we watched it till like 1 in the morning. Thank God there was only 8 episodes, because about 6 episodes in, she's like, I don't think I can watch any more of this. It's creepy, too. And I'm like, we got to fucking finish. Like, what? Let me look it up. And
can't
I was
give
like,
up.
I'm like, there's probably 10 episodes. And then there was only 8, and it was like, yes, we can fucking do this. Power through this.
The part of the conversation that was interesting to me, you were sharing it the other day, back to base camp, was how they told you that you were getting really hyped about speaking about base camp because you were remembering the initial vision and direction of the company.
Yeah, I was like talking 1,000 miles an hour, and I hadn't had coffee, and I was like just getting so excited because it was more like all these questions. It was almost like they brought you back to like when you're first starting, you have this general vision, you think anything's possible, you're super excited, right? And it was kind of like it reminded me of, and it happens with any as a company gets bigger, gets more people, same thing that happens, that was a different scale, right? You end up doing these, focusing on these things that aren't the part you're passionate about, or you know, you defer on certain things. And so my lesson there was, which is another lesson to this, was like, if you have a vision, you have to like I would always say to myself, like I would always describe my role at Basecamp once we hired like a full-time management team as like, I'm just gonna be like super user, right? I'm just gonna go in there, I'm gonna fucking take class all the time, and I'm gonna give feedback on like from a user experience, like this felt like Basecamp, this didn't feel like Basecamp, right? So if you try to change the workout too much, you're gonna be like, no, right? And so, or if there's a move where it feels like we're gonna fucking tear ACL if we try to do this, it'll be like, no, let's not do that one, or whatever it is, or if it feels dirty or whatever, right? Which is okay, but within that, if you look at like, so for me personally, if I look at like what would make me super passionate about the business of Basecamp each day, a lot of it was more like staying tapped into that original vision, so that like you don't get sidetracked by like the things you don't enjoy, right? Or it got me questioning some things, like why did I not surrender, but why did I? Because overall, obviously, it's been going great, but there's still little turns and changes where it's like, what was going on? Like, that was totally not what I think. Totally not what I would have done on my own. And a lot of it still comes back to insecurity or like lack of confidence at the time. Like, I'll blame it on, well, you fucking, this person might be so annoying, like drive me crazy when I'm meeting with them, so I don't want to be in the meeting with them. But it's still ultimately like, but you can't say that, right? Or you can't say, oh, well, this person thought this would make them, if someone has a different opinion of a direction you should go, and ultimately you agree to take that, you can't say it was because they wore you down. And you, well, you can, but it's fucking lame, right? So what really happened was you either didn't believe enough in like the different path you thought you should take, enough to like actually deal with whatever friction that created, right? Mm-hmm. So say, for example, like a lot of times you'll get like maybe someone has leverage, because you've given them responsibility or whatever, and they've run with it. And then in the course of that, you now feel like there's things that only they know how to do. You don't know how to do them anymore. So you think like, I don't think we should do this. And they're like, but I do. And you weigh in your head quickly, you're doing the math of like, okay, if I push too hard and that person leaves, or I have to get rid of that person, what is the impact of that? It's like, there's a whole bunch of shit that I don't know how to do. So there's all these little slow decisions, which then take it away, and then in the long run you have like this little feeling in your gut of like, this it's just not quite right, but it's all based on that initial decision. So as long as you know, and I used to laugh like at Zappos when we started making our, it was like, you know, because the company, it was probably about 7 years in or 6 years in, six and a half, 7 years in. It's like, let's write down our core values. And to me, like I always call that stuff like hocus pocus stuff. Like, what the fuck, you know? Mm. Part of it's because I can't articulate it as clearly, right? So if someone, like in this meeting the other day, they're like, tell me in the five terms that would describe Basecamp. I'm like, I can't. What the fuck are you talking? It's fucking Basecamp. Right? So that's the problem. I can see it, but I can't explain it. And so I would laugh, right? Because we'd sit in this meeting. I'm like, we're having a fucking meeting to talk about writing 20 things down that we stand for. This is absolutely fucking ridiculous. Because, like, I don't know why, but I just thought it was ridiculous. Right? So one of them was, Tony would say, I think one of our core values should be weird. Right? And I'm like, be weird? That's a fucking goal of ours? Like,
why am I in this meeting?
So I'm like, and I remember saying the video, I'd be like, then I'm getting hung up on little things. Because I'm thinking, like, it was like this weird, I can still remember it. Now I feel like back in the meeting, I don't want to be weird. And, like, I don't think we want to position ourselves as weird. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? And then I was like, and if you are, we want to be authentic. If you're authentically weird, I don't think you'd have a core value on the wall saying be weird. You would just be weird, right? Like, yeah. I felt like that's a, so I had these problems of these things that we are naturally versus things we aspire to be. But in hindsight, and I was taking it too literal, right? And I was bored to fucking death at the time. So I was like, you know, can't wait to go from the fucking write 20 words on a wall meeting to the what security badge meeting should we use? You know, so, but what it really meant was, you know, in the future, we come in and be like, don't afraid of like being weird or being different or like having different ideas, whatever, right? But so it kind of made sense. But and so later now I see the value because it brought me back in this meeting the other day of like, dude, like that's stupid. Don't ask me to fucking describe this in five words. Like it is what it is. But then I realized, no, I guess, but as it grows, there still has to be things on a wall that everyone that doesn't know what it is comes in and says, these are the five things because that's their vision, right? Because they can't all have their own vision because otherwise the company can't have everyone have a new vision. So it's basically saying, hey, if you have one here, California, when you open one in Nebraska, you don't want the fucking person that opens it to be like, this is my interpretation of what Basecamp is based on what I've seen. You want it written on the fucking wall. Here's the five things. And that's what guides to decisions. So I was like, okay, I kind of get it. Now that makes more sense to me than... And so then I realized, okay, the Zappos thing does make sense because I looked at it as like, well, we're still only one company. Why the fuck do we need 20 things on a wall? Yeah. But it's because all the new people that come in need to understand that same.
You need a direction or a target.
Yeah, everyone's going to have an idea of what the vision is based on their use of the product.
Yeah.
And that may not actually be what the company's vision is, right?
So now I saw the value in that. It's like... Because it's hard enough when you have the vision to stay true to it. If you're the one that doesn't have the vision, and then you're expected to stay to something which hasn't even clearly been defined to you, then I can understand why that would be.
Yeah.
Are you pointing at the wall because you want us to go? You want us to put up ours?
Yeah, we can get something up here.
No, I was just thinking. Right in front of me. Because from what I've been told, behind me on the wall, which Dennis looks at, is a nice calming curtain. A nice red sign that says
Faded Studio Visions.
Right, I look here at fucking cinder block wall with what? No decorations on it.
Like we're an institution.
Yeah, well, we got to paint it. Yeah. We got to get some art up there.
Because all that matters apparently is what Dennis sees in this fucking
room. Yeah, my comfort level is primary.
Paramount.
Can we? I mean, you guys have just done a TIFO. Maybe you guys can use some of that artistic talent that you've just brought to fruition and put it right here on this wall.
That's true. We could do that. That might be a good place for it.
I think we found it all.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We found it a home.
But I think the key thing is basically if you have to have your own vision before you can worry, before I think you spend too much time worrying about what your potential competitors are.
What their vision is.
Because otherwise your vision is going to be guided so much by what they are, like I don't want to be this. And then there's a difference between saying I don't want to be that, right? And because even this guy in the meeting, he said, you know, a lot of people are gonna say, and it's also how I phrase the question to you, right? I can ask you a question where you'll say Basecamp is this, and then I can ask you a question where you'll say Basecamp isn't that. And goes, and it's surprising because this is what they do for their company. They just go around and they talk to growing brands and companies, and they talk to them about like, like getting the messaging more concise and like as and any tweaks they might have to make to the messaging as the brand grows into different markets to give the same message. Right? Like there's a different way of saying the same thing in Japan than there is in Texas, right? And so he's like, but it's amazing how many people will answer a question about what are you with what they're not. And like, or even they'll start with here's what we are, but it so quickly goes into what we're not. And it ends up being like, we're not the competitor. We're not this, we're not that. And like, that's partially a reaction to the fact that you don't know exactly what you are. Because if you know exactly what you are, you don't worry about anyone else. So like, you don't think about like, oh, I'm not like them. We're not like them. We're not like them. Because who fucking cares? Like, they're irrelevant. All that matters is like what you're doing. And then I think it's also finding a way to have that vision and then merge it with everyone else's vision. Because like, no one wants to be in a place where it's just like my way or the fucking highway the whole time.
It's like in sports too, when they, you know, when you have a mismatch on paper. And then you hear the players say, oh, we don't, you know, we're just going to play our game. You know, we're not really worried about what the other team is doing. We're worried about how we are, you know, putting together our game plan or how we're going to play because we feel like we can beat anybody if we.
Especially like in sports where they get new, like in college football or something, where they get a new crew. Like, so, you know, or they'll show all the statistics always, right? Like, oh, Duke's lost to North Carolina 12 times in the last 6 years, but no one on the team right then has played on either team has played in maybe any games in the last 6 years. Like, so it's totally irrelevant, but it'd be easy to be like, oh, we, or I guess Duke and Carolina's a bad one, but like, say you're Eastern Carolina, you'd be like, oh, we can't compete with Duke. They've beaten us fucking 20 times in a row. Were any of you guys on the team the last 20 times they beat them? No. Were any of the guys on their team on the fucking team the last 20 times they beat you? No.
That always gets me too. There's always like, in the last 17 times these teams have met, they've lost. I'm like, are you kidding me? That was over like 50 years. None of these people were even on. Like, that's a completely different program, right?
Yeah. And part of probably what keeps it perpetuating is that on some level they buy into it, right? The team that's like,
absolutely.
Oh, fuck, we're playing Eastern Carolina. We'll crush them. And the Eastern Carolina, I don't even know if that's Eastern Carolina's a good team or not. But they're looking at North Carolina or Duke going, oh, that's Duke. We can't beat them, you know?
I always think there's a little bit of that. We're off topic a little bit. Like last night during the Quakes Dallas game, I think that the Dallas probably went into that game thinking, this is the last place team in the league. These guys suck. We're going to kill them tonight. Yeah. And then they got out there and like, wait, this isn't going so well.
Yeah. And even within that, the players during the season on the Quakes, you can see when they start losing, they get in their own head of like, oh, here we fucking go again. And so when they start winning, Vancouver, they got their, you know, tails up, and they're like, oh, you know.
Against Vancouver, they gave up those three goals within 9 minutes of each other. Because the first one was in, and then they go, holy crap, it's happening again.
Yep.
So momentum is a real thing in sports, and it's also a real thing in
business.
And every time you go sideways to check what someone else is doing, it's like you're driving down the street, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, fucking try to get through the stop sign before it turns red.
Then a bicycle cuts you off.
You go for it. Or you're like, ooh, look, there's a fucking Starbucks. Right, what the fucking example that would be. The ooh, look.
Ooh, no. Ooh.
The ooh, look did not fit with the fucking Starbucks. But whatever, right? And then you like distract it, and then you hit the fucking, I don't even, still don't know if it's an orange or yellow light. And then you're like, fuck.
That bicycle cut you off the other day.
Bike cut you off?
Yesterday, we were going to the game. And we're driving down Burlingame Ave, and Jordan and Jim are running across the street to get in the car. And as we're driving, so we're kind of driving slowly because we don't want to go through. We want to wait. This bike passes us, and then is ahead of us, and then mean mugs us. Like, it just didn't make any sense. I think it was just basically like, oh, the truck's too tall for me. I don't.
Yeah, like it couldn't have anything to do with the car you were driving.
But then we're like, you know, it made no fucking sense. Like, what do you, like, you just passed us and you're ahead of us and you still turn around. So that was, you know, a good example would be she could have gone fucking flying over the handlebars because she's so worried about us when she's already passed us. She could have fucking ran into something and flipped over the handlebars. But that's the same thing. Like, it's hard to get ahead if you're like looking back, right? If we were racing. I remember in high school, you did cross country, right? Or you watch the Olympics or anything in running. When the person ahead, if the person behind them is like gaining on them, it just seems like this, as soon as the person ahead is becomes aware of the fact the person's gaining on them, they're done. They're going to fucking catch them. If they just put their head down and keep going, then A, the person behind them, like, it sucks if you're trying to catch someone and they don't appear to care. Because you're spending all this effort to get up to them and you can't see their face. So you're thinking, fuck, I'm almost there, but god damn it, they don't even, they probably are still ready to keep going. But as soon as they look back and you see how fucking tired they are, then it gives the person behind a little boost of like, oh, I got them. They're fucking looking over their shoulder. And when you're the one in first, I remember anytime you look over your shoulder to see if someone's coming, I mean, there's probably multiple causes of this, but like, it just felt like psychologically, as soon as you looked back, psychologically, you'd given up. Like you were now focused on how close to you that person was versus just like how fast you could just keep running ahead. So it's got to be the same thing on some level. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good to be aware of everyone, but like you don't want to be spending time like meeting about your competitors. Like what, you know, like unless, although I was watching on the plane the other day, I was watching that Silicon Valley show because the regular TV wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And there was one where, what are they called? Pied Piper. Mm-hmm. Pied Piper was trying to hire engineers.
Yeah.
And the Gavin Co., whatever the big one, was just kept fucking, like, he found out they interviewed 67 engineers, so he hired all of them. And then, like,
Hooli is the name of the company.
But then when they
got there, he told them.
Yeah. But what did he tell? I couldn't figure that. I think I fell asleep for that part. Like, because all of a sudden
he said
gone,
he hired them because under the they are like, well, we thought we were hired to build the new internet.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what we want to do. And then he's like, well, no, he basically said, well, I just hired you to keep you away from Pied Piper. So.
But what happened then? Did he let him go, or he just put him back into his company somewhere?
He just put him back into his company and paid him. Just you know, to do nothing.
I think I miss it. Or dude, Delta, you're wearing these fucking headphones watching TV. Like, it was a 53-minute flight from LA. They make a fucking announcement every 12 minutes, which blasts your ears. And I was actually like, out loud.
They want to make,
like,
make sure.
Message from the captain.
They want to make sure you guys are aware on your vision.
Hey guys, we have a Delta Rewards fucking
Delta
card.
Rewards here. Don't forget our flight.
I told the guy next
to
me, like, why can't they put
around
a little fucking caption box in the left of the screen that says this?
Because no one pay attention to
if
that.
If you're trying to sleep, it sucks. If you're watching TV, it sucks. But anyways, so basically they were. So
we hear a little bit of turbulence here, Nick. So please put on your seatbelt.
But what? So part of that episode, which was kind of goes to this point, is right. So they interviewed 67 people. The two guys that make the hiring, you know, the two guys that want to, the two lead engineers didn't want to hire any of them, based on those interviews alone.
They weren't as they're thoroughbreds.
No. They had a real specific criteria of what they were looking
but
for.
But whatever the criteria was, they didn't want to hire those guys, right? Then all of a sudden, Hooli fucking hires them all. So the CEO guy's like, dude, Hooli just hired everyone, but you guys didn't want to hire him anyway. And they're like, what the fuck? Now all of a sudden they wanted to hire him. Like, they became more desirable to them because they were no longer available. The other place had him, right? So then they go fucking try to acquire this company so they can acquire all their developers.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and there's a guy who's, they didn't want to hire as a developer, who now starts his own fucking pizza company or pizza slice company or some shit.
I remember that shit.
They don't want to. So that guy then hears that they're going to try to acquire this other company to get their developers. So he raises money and he acquires these developers. So then they fucking acquire both the pizza guy and the other guy. And it's like, and they really, all they wanted was, I think it was like, they wanted a dozen developers. They ended up hiring 50 by the time they did.
Yeah, they needed 12 or something.
Double merger, right? And then eventually the guy.
And they ran out. I think they ran out of money and they weren't able to. Yeah, I think they're running out of funding and they won't be able to pay him or something like that. And
yeah. Like, and the guy, like the CEO guy, shits his pants and pukes all over the place talking to his team. And then like, he does it. But then he goes back to being locked in on his original vision. And fucking codes, whatever. Seemed to be some insane amount of stuff in like 48 hours and ends up in the hospital because he's exhausted himself, right? But then from that, and everyone left right before that of the 50 because he didn't want the 50 and they left. And so you got all these people that are just getting pawns because like all these companies want it. And then in the end, it seemed like, I don't remember if the episode ended or the plane landed, but like then because he got back to his core vision of like, I'm a fucking developer and this is what we're doing, then about a dozen of the best people came back because they were inspired by his focus and his determination on coding himself. So they came back just to witness this fucking historic coding that was going on. So it's still in there. There's still that same lesson, right? Like basically in the beginning of the episode, he knew exactly what he wanted to build and he had a team of 5 developers and himself. But they got distracted on this, like, all these games of, like, hiring people away and other, and outside people affecting him, right? Like, an outside company hired this group of developers that he didn't want to hire. And all of a sudden it turned into fucking this, their whole focus is on, okay, well, then I need to get these developers, because they're not being developers. And then, in the end, he temporarily loses, first he hires 50 people instead of 12, then he loses all 50 of them, because he shits his pants in a meeting, and they're not, I mean, this is literally what happened. They're not impressed by him. And so then they're back to the original 5 developers and him, and he gets back to the original vision of just building this, whatever the fuck this new internet is. And it's like, so basically, if they just put the beginning at the end, it changed everything. But he spent the whole episode getting distracted. So it's the same in business, right? Same on some days where you're like, oh, I got these meetings about shit that's not important. But that's just discipline. Like, why are you, if this is the vision of what we got to get done today, why are you fucking scheduling meetings about things that don't have to get done today?
Yeah.
So.
This episode brought to you by Silicon Valley.
Is that
on HBO?
Is it good? On Delta, they only had season 5. I feel like I watched the first 2 seasons and then I stopped watching it.
It is really good.
Season 5?
I think it might be five. Is that the current one right now?
Yeah, and it's done, right?
Yeah, been done.
Yeah.
A couple months ago. I might go back and watch 4.
You should watch it from the get-go.
I definitely watched the first 2 seasons.
I think it's really, it resonates, especially because we live here. There's a lot of things that you see and you're like, oh yeah. And then there's a bunch of like places. There's a couple places you'll notice from
Palo Alto.
Yeah, they come and they shoot exteriors. It's all filmed in LA, but they shoot a bunch of exteriors so you get to see like stuff from around here.
Yeah, good old Palo Alto.
And then they had the entitled, you know, tech workers where the guys, they were complaining because they only get Phil's coffee brought to them free every day. They wanted fucking Stumptown or something like that. And it was like, what the hell? But yeah, it's interesting. Like, what's also interesting is like, if you're focused on what you're focused on, then you just interpret everything differently, right? So yeah. Like, not thinking about that wouldn't have interpreted that show the same way. So it's more like, I think it builds upon it. The more you like can stay focused on a vision, then all these other things become things that add to that vision. But and I think if you don't have a clear vision. I don't know what that means, because it happens to me too. Like, so sometimes projects will go in and out of that vision, right? So you'll have a super clear vision. So like, for example, if we try to start like SurfCat, for example, when we think we found a location, then all of a sudden the vision becomes clear and all the to-do list becomes clear. And then when you haven't found the vision, it just feels murky, where all that's missing is the place. Mm-hmm. But without the place, you can't really start picturing like how you would decorate it or how you would lay it out or what the next steps are. So it just feels murkier. But I think if you have something, which reminded me back to the things that I only wanted to do because I thought they could be big or make money, then it's harder because you're sitting around and like, what is the thing what is the vision you're thinking about? Usually you're thinking about like some dollar number.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'll have to fucking do with that. That'd be awesome. Or, oh, think about if you could pull that off. What would that mean? Like, you know, would your name be in lights, or you know, would you be, you know, or there'd be some this, that, and the other, versus like, oh, I want to create this thing because it's awesome, and like, who cares? Like, because a lot of people look at the people that are building these things and then turning down money left and right because they're like, no, yeah. I'm fucking on a rocket ship to the moon and I'm not stopping here. It's because they have a clear, well, externally, it's, you assume it's because they have a really clear vision of exactly where they can get to, so they already know, why would I stop here when I can get so much farther. Now, reality-wise, it could be a whole bunch of reasons, right? It could be like, yeah, I want to fucking sell this thing right now. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. But I got this one investor, and he's got to get 5 times his money back. So if I were to sell right now, I actually get screwed because he gets all the money. Mm-hmm. So let's just keep going,
yeah.
Right? But at least externally, it feels like the ones that everyone's jealous of are like, oh, man, these guys are just turning down money left and right. They know exactly where they're going.
So it's good, I guess, for someone starting a business, they got to narrow down their vision. They have to have a target, at least what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Well, to that point, I was going to mention that project that you're not supposed to talk about yet.
Yeah.
But, and then you mentioned earlier, right at the beginning of the episode, about vision actually being something that you can see. How much of putting that vision together actually comes from being able to see a product, for example? Because we worked on a project not too long ago where, you know, it was ambiguous. And then within, you know, a day or two, we had an you had a better vision of what it, you wanted it to be like based on actually putting something together, a prototype together, for example.
Yeah.
It's like a website, like how you start to...
Like Party with Dennis was just an idea.
Yeah. It's probably different for different people. So for me, I've always like wanted to be able to... It like seems real once you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
Right. So this other project working on with Ken, who was on a couple weeks ago, he like we were talking, and it was this idea, and I could kind of see it, and then we both think the same way. So it was like brainstorming names, right? So we threw some names out, and one stuck. And then it was just like, it wasn't even a logo, but he would just put together something like, oh, here's the name written a certain way on a certain and all of a sudden it just kind of gave it a feeling, right? So then you could start like envisioning it a little better. Because it's hard if you, especially if you're working on something which is basically just like numbers and things. It's like there's no feeling to it, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think like the most underutilized thing, especially with cost, is like even. Now I'm not saying we do it. We'll do it great all the time, but like if you walk down retail areas, right? Like the lack of like just like making the logos and storefronts and stuff feel inviting is like crazy, right? Like mm-hmm. you walk down the street and you're like, so many places where if they just, but they're not thinking the same way. They're usually like, it seems they're usually just focused on like, I got this thing, this food I make, and that's the key. Or I'm no frills, so my place will be no frills.
It's right? Like different personalities. You get
but
to
you
walk
feel like down. You just walk around yeah. and be like, now the reason you don't do it is because I think it'd be like you'd be fighting a fucking uphill battle because those people don't have the same vision of like what it could look like. But it feels like you could just go around. I mean, there's people that, I guess it's kind of like what the fucking Prophet does, kind of. But not really, right? But I feel like you could go to San Mateo and you could walk down a street. There's fucking 20 restaurants on every street. And you could take any of those concepts, pick it, and just be like, if you'll just spend X on revamping it, try to make it something where it feels like it's just something
inviting.
More inviting. It would help. But it could also be wrong.
Yeah, this has worked for 20 years on our storefronts.
Yeah. And people, and again, it's the same vision. So someone might be like, what do you mean? My vision, I'm perfectly happy. I work here with my husband. Our kids are going to work here. We got loyal customers that come in every day. This is perfect, right? Well, then they're going to look at you like you're fucking crazy when you're going in there going, hey, if you listen to us, we think this would be really cool and you could make this blah, 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 and this would be much easier to expand. And they'd be like, who the fuck are you? And I don't want to expand, and I don't want to look like fucking I'm in Disneyland or whatever. So get out of here.
Get off my lawn,
and
kid.
Be like, huh. But I think there's probably, if you did, there's probably enough people where they'd be like, they share the same, they want the same vision, they just don't know how to get there. So it'd just be a numbers game of like, walk into enough fucking places, and then hopefully you share the same vision on how much that should cost.
Yeah. Huh. That's good on vision.
I got a clear vision of what Party with Dennis is going to be like in Vegas.
Can you outline this vision?
Not sure if it's the same vision you have.
I'm going to be completely sober and have a great, responsible time. That's what's going to happen. I promise.
That doesn't seem like the vision that you need to, that you set out earlier.
I think I read an article the other day about people who throw out the word "I promise" like in like sarcastic ways. It means they just there's no value in their promise.
I promise.
They're willing to joke about it. They're willing to joke about such a serious thing.
Oof. On that serious note.
On that note.
Yeah. Fuck.
Well, that was a good one on visions.
Anyone else?
And I care.
Stop. Anything vision. To add? Any ideas?
No, my brain's dead today. This morning. I don't think we should do morning podcasts.
Yeah.
Whose fucking idea was this?
It was mine. Because yeah. My brain is just
I had a vision about how this was supposed to go.
The upside was half a cup of coffee in and three donuts in. It was like, this is awesome. We should keep doing this all the time. And now that, like, I haven't had enough coffee and I've had too much sugar and it's starting to wear off, now it seems like a
yeah, I felt great idea. At the beginning of it, and then now I'm crashing.
I need a sugar nap.
I think it works, too, from an employee perspective. Having a vision of where you want to be within that company, doing your research, finding out, sitting down with the owner if you can, trying to see what their vision is and how you can fit into it based on your skill set. So there's a lot of stuff to learn there about having your own personal vision, not just from a startup perspective, but just as somebody who wants to be the very best professional at something.
Yeah. And making sure your vision is aligned, like, is possible within that. And then having a system where there's no harm, right? It's not, you're not going to be punished if you bring up ambitions that exceed the company's. But then you also have to understand, like, that is, if your ambitions exceed the company's,
and you might not be a good fit for that company anymore.
The company's not going to, the company might not change to match your ambitions. And they might not ask you to leave for having different ambitions. But in order to stay the same way, like, you're going to have to, you know, merge in. It's almost like when we talk about this, I picture, like, almost like those pictures of, like, all these arrows, like, all merging to go the same way into one big arrow, right? You just can't be the one that's like, I feel like there's people that slam their head in the wall about, like, I mean, even it could be anything, like, as far as, like, what they're working on, or obviously, like financial or pay opportunity is a big one, right? Of, like, you know, in the mortgage industry, I could make X, but in the fitness industry, I should make X. But what do you mean? Why? Like, why? Well, because in the mortgage industry, that's how much. It's like, you know, those things where it's like, I'm using some random example, but, like, it doesn't make sense, right? It's like, there's certain times or certain companies, like, there's always people that say, like, oh, I want to be in a small company, I want big company perks, or I want to work in a big company, but I want small company flexibility. Okay, that's great. Like, but there's a reason why there's small companies and big companies, and there's differences between both of them. But I think the worst is if people don't feel comfortable talking about it at all. Hmm. And I think that's one thing that seems to have changed over the years is, like, who knows, maybe not. Maybe no one fucking says anything to me they mean to say to me. But the but it feels like the same way there's always tools now to start businesses and test things that you wouldn't have been able to do in the past. It feels like there's an acceptance of, like, being able to more voice your opinions and, like, or without it being held against you, right? It doesn't seem like it's that, shut up, you'll only think about this type thing. I don't know. Once again, we probably should have cut the podcast off 5 minutes ago.
I can do that. I'm going to start crossing off my guest list here.
All right, Dennis, lead us out of here.
All right, guys.
Let's see this.
Deliver us.
On the way to visions.
Deliver us.
You've messed visions. Up the intros the last couple, so you know let's what? Have a I'm really solid outro.
Outro. Well, if you like what you hear, please visit us at www.thestartupaddict.com.
I had money on that. I win.
Is that on the World Wide Web?
It's on the World Wide Web. http://. Instagram at the Startup Addict. Twitter, startup_addict. We've got Speed Quarter episodes coming up. Yes. Can't wait. It's got it on my subscribe list.
Yeah, me too.
Tebow.
Speaking of the earthquakes, we had an earthquake appearance at the last... Tommy Thompson was the last Speed Quarters, and I think you got to stay tuned to see how his performance unfolded.
It was pretty magical.
He had a vision coming in.
Mm-hmm. Vision. Good, good. I like that. Let's see. What else?
I'm eating a donut. I got nothing for you.
YouTube?
Yeah, you can watch it on YouTube.
How's the subscriptions?
I was looking at it right now.
Through the roof.
Let's see it.
Through the roof.
So many freaking subscribers.
Yeah. I feel like looking at the subscriptions, I got a fucking full donut in my mouth. I feel like...
Come on, chew it. You got it. What was that? Oh. You spit all over
looking
there.
Looking at
microphone.
The subscriptions is like looking back. You're
looking at the subscriptions is like us fucking worrying about competitors.
Screw you. Screw how many subscribers I have.
Stop killing our buzz, YouTube.
Just look forward.
Look forward. No. And onward.
Look, when we don't look at statistics, we're the biggest podcast in the world.
We are. This is... People are fiending for episodes.
We got a clear vision.
That's what I'm going to say from now on.
Clear vision.
Biggest podcast in the world.
Cinder block walls and luxury views.
And donut dreams.
Donut dreams. I think we'll end it with that. Donut dreams.